from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Responsibilities? Well, we actually have three, if you include Jason's associate general manager. But so the way we've kind of divided it up more recently, and this will crystallize as we move forward, where Jerry's still going to day-to-day oversee the amateur scouting department. We won't name a director of amateur scouting. He'll kind of serve in that role. I really like the way our amateur scouting department operates. We've had some continuity over the last 2-3 years, which I think helps as well. And he'll add the pro into his day-to-day, be kind of sitting more on management meetings, roster discussions, that stuff. So that'll be added to his plate, but that won't really change in terms of the day-to-day from our scouting. I think Jeremiah Crow's done an excellent job on the pro, but I also think just Jerry's experience and knowledge of the players will help in that area. You still, with Mark Jakubowski, his role doesn't change at all. He really, from the CBA and contract negotiations, salary cap, all those things, internal administration with staff contracts, that's really his, where he's day-to-day in the lead. And then Jason Carmanos will continue to, be general manager of Rochester, oversee the player development, and be involved in everything, really. I mean, every scouting meeting we have, in his role, he's really involved. And on the road during the year, watching amateur, watching pro, obviously maintaining a close eye on where we are as a roster, depth charts of different positions, funneling up through Rochester to Buffalo. So it's great for Jerry. He certainly earned this opportunity, in my opinion. But in terms of day-to-day, I don't think you'll see a ton change, just kind of some maybe inside structural differences.
There's been some speculation / reporting the last couple of days suggesting that you're considering a buyout of Jeff Skinner. Wondering where that is a possibility or something you're considering and where he fits in your plan.
Yeah, wait, what was the question?
With Jeff,
look, I mean, I know you have to ask the question. It's not something I certainly will, get into specifics on any, these type of things, but I know there's rumors out there, there's rumblings and on different scenarios. What I can tell you is from the day our season ended, after my conversations with Terry and kind of where we go from here, every single thing that we're doing this offseason, we ask the question, does this help our team get better? Does this put us in a position to improve? And we've made a lot of decisions up to this point of where we sit today with that in mind, and we're going to continue. So nothing's off the table. We're going to talk about everything. We're going to look at every scenario, but that's probably as far as I go on specifics right now.
Kevin, how do you look at, it's widely known the Devils might want to be in the market trading their pick. It's widely known it's one of the options you guys have. But history has shown it's difficult for a variety of reasons for teams to trade a first-round pick. It doesn't happen very often. GMs are hesitant at times. How do you look at the comparison of the idea of taking a pick at 11 or potentially getting a deal, how difficult is it if you actually wanted to go down that road?
Yeah, it's challenging. I mean, honestly, because it goes both ways. Pick 11 is a very valuable asset. We are going to get a good player with pick 11 if we stay in that position and make the pick. We're confident in that. These guys have worked all year to help us and be prepared for that pick. In saying that, I think you take in all the information. Where are you as an organization? What are your needs? Where's your prospect pool? Because if you are really thin, it, you know, in terms of your depth of prospects, and you have, you're sitting at pick 11, that even makes it more challenging of making a move. So if you have a deep prospect pool, which I believe we do, you're more open to moving that pick, but then it's still a valuable pick. You know you're going to get a good player. You have to be willing to weigh what are the options out there. Is it good enough to make that decision? In saying that now, I've told every team in the league that we are wide open to considering moving pick 11. We're wide open to consider anything, to be honest with you, prospects, if we think it's going to help our team. We're having those conversations right now. I've talked to every team around us that we're open to, hey, we'd even look to move up. That's not always easy to do, but I think we have the assets to do that. We're very open to moving back. And depending how the draft slides and, where guys are going. So all of that's on the table. These conversations have been going on for a few weeks. They'll certainly pick up steam here in the next week as we get closer to Vegas. But I guess that's how I weigh it. You take in all the information, and then you look at where you are as a team. Going back to what I said to Lance, and if we think this makes us better, then we do it.
You look at every scenario every year, obviously, but would it be accurate to say that given where you are as an organization, this is really the first time since you've been the GM that you're actually open to maybe trading that first pick?
I think so. That's a really fair comment. And I've said that to a number of GMs that, you know, we've been very, in my opinion, methodical and disciplined and had a plan in place going back, three plus years now of how we were going to build this organization and franchise up. I think we've been disciplined. We've stuck to our plan. But I think we've moved into another phase now that we have to be really open and looking to make these type of decisions. But you still have to have the right opportunity to make them. So if we end up making pick 11, we'll be excited about it, but it won't be from lack of effort of seeing what else was out there to do. But I think it's a really fair comment, and I've told other GMs that, Mike, that this is the first year, in my mind, you're always going to have conversations, you're always going to be looking at different ways to improve your roster, but this year in particular is the first time I'd say that we're the most comfortable with kind of where we've built our prospect pool, that if the right opportunity is there, that we'll be ready to do it.
What did you learn from your experience going back to 2021 and even 22 on the players you took? And has your philosophy changed at all when it comes to the Russian, selecting a Russian player at this point?
Yeah, I can let Jerry in a second jump in and, specifically on this year's draft. But philosophically, it hasn't changed, John. I think you have to slot the players where you believe they are from on your list, from one to whatever the final number is. Take away geography, take away everything. You're putting it purely on projection. Then you're going to have to look at the variables. Some of that could be injury history. There could be contracts tied up in European. There's so many different variables. Certainly the Russian variable is real. What is your plan to develop them? Are you going to be able to get them over here? And we've seen it both ways. We've drafted some Russian players that we've been able to get over here pretty quick and get in our system, which is great. And we've drafted players like a Poltepov, who we knew was going to be years away based on the contract. So you weigh it. Nothing for us has changed philosophically, though. If you believe you have the opportunity to get a player and it's of value, we'll do it.
Yeah, the only thing I would add to that is just to confirm what Kevin says, that we rate the player first. And then you have to consider what are the unknowns with some of those players versus some players in North America or other parts of Europe where we have more access to the player pre-draft. So in those cases, we might drop the players down our list a little bit, and then it becomes a consideration if they're available. Can you get high value because you got them later in the draft? And then to your other part of the question, you know, maybe what we've learned through this process the past few years, and I think we, you know, anticipated this would be the case. These players have a lot on their plate. And, you know, maybe some of their development has been stagnated because of that, both you know, having to come over and adapt and adjust to our culture over here and to North American style of play, and then just not having exposure the past two or three years in any international tournaments and being challenged on playing best and best tournaments, and that, and our development staff doesn't have their hands or as much direct contact with them. So I do think we're finding across the league their development has been slowed down a little bit compared to some other players.
As far as the number 11 pick goes, just to both of you, just what do you see potentially available in that spot?
Well, not unlike previous drafts, I think, you know, the top four, five, six players in the draft, I would assume across the league there's pretty good consensus on. I think this draft might be a little bit unique after that point when you get to maybe 6 to 15. I think there's a really wide spectrum of players and probably a lot of difference of opinions across the league on that group of players. So, it, you know, in past drafts, you could kind of tick off the top 10 or 11, and maybe only one of those players would be available to you at 11, 12, 13. It wouldn't shock me this year if, you know, there could be two or three players that we have in our top seven or eight that are available at 11. I just think there's a little bit of a drop-off after five, but then I think it's a deep group cluster of players after that.
Yeah, and I think that's where, you know, I've been really challenging Jerry and the rest of the scouts to say, got to get the list right. You know, you have to order this right, and right meaning what we truly believe, because there's a lot of variables. Do we like move up or down? All those types of things. So that's why instead of just saying, okay, here's two or three players we think are probably in that range of who we're going to get, let's make sure we're really getting this order of our list accurate so we're prepared for any situation.
Kevin, a few of your younger players are going to be eligible for extensions July 1st. Are you looking to do anything with any of those guys or just begin that process?
Yeah, Lance, I think just, you know, philosophically, so you know that we are always open to that. And I've talked to, I believe, all the players that you're referring to, their agents this summer. And just, you know, we're always open. We've done it before. But we've also gone the other way. You know, I think right now we're probably, I wouldn't anticipate that we'll go down that road this summer. But you know, we could change, and if it was to me, it's always about what's right for us and what's right for the player. So we're open to it, but I don't anticipate engaging in that in the next couple months.
I remember at the trade deadline we were discussing, you know, you talked about because of the season you were having, you know, it was harder maybe to get players to waive their trade, no trades. Things have changed, though, now. You have a veteran coach, you know, who's won a lot of games in the NHL. Has that maybe changed a little bit in your favor?
It has come up, yeah, a few times, Paul. And Lindy has a lot of credibility in this league and a lot of respect in this league from players, agents, other general managers, which he's earned. And that's the great thing for us. So, yeah, I obviously can't give you specifics, but that I have had conversations where that exact thing has come up, and the players, or they're not through the teams, have said, or agents have said, yeah, that's certainly a coach that our guy would like to play for, and that's a great thing. And you know, when it comes to, hey, you deal with these things when it comes to trade protection, you know, going into it, you know, potentially where guys are and or you're on their list or not on their list and all that stuff. That's all part of this. I think for me, this is really just about focusing on how do we make sure our team's better, you know, putting ourselves in the best position to have success. And because I truly believe almost, I mean, let's just say the majority of players want to play in a winning team and want to be in a chance to win a Stanley Cup. And we need to put ourselves in that position.
Gary, I'm curious how you
navigated the dialogue with him. Maybe some even go back to, you know, exit meetings and stuff. Just, I'm sure this is, hearing his name come up like that, you know, creates some tension for any player around this time of year. Just how you manage to go over that.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, my personal feeling on that is it's really important to have relationships with your players. Make sure they bigger than hockey. You're just getting to know them as people. You're building relationships so that, you know, when and if you need to have challenging conversations, you're able to do that on an honest way, back and forth. So, you know, that's not specific to Jeff. That's anyone. And sometimes those conversations might happen during the season where you're sitting in the office together saying, you know, what's going on? You know, where are you at? And sharing back and forth, you know, what they're feeling about their game, what you're seeing. So that's step one. With Jeff in particular, at the end of the season, I thought there was true honesty back and forth from myself and him. And, you know, I'll leave specifics out, but I think it's safe to say that I have a lot of respect for Jeff. I mean, he's clearly an elite offensive player in this league. He's done it a long time. He's scored a lot of goals in this league. And I have a lot of respect for Newport Sports, who represents him, and how they handle themselves and the professionalism they show on a daily basis. So I'll keep the conversations private, but I've certainly have had dialogue and, you know, just kind of bigger than any one thing, just talking in general about his game and in our team.
We saw some trades going down yesterday. I know you're always active in these talks and talking with everybody. How directly active have you been leading up to the draft? And I know it's going to be busy draft time, but
busiest time of the year. It's awesome. I love this time of year for a couple reasons. Well, four reasons. The draft's great. It is such an exciting time for a franchise when you've put so much work by the amateur staff, you know, into what happens next week and bringing in a new set of prospects into your system. And I really, I put a lot of trust and thought into Jerry and the staff. And then I do a lot of work myself, making sure, you know, through the combine and, you know, all of that. Another reason is because of the conversations on a daily basis you're having with other teams' general manager. Every single day on the phone from morning till night, this is the time of year where the phone's next to me. Even late, it rings. I've gotten in a habit with our really nice warm weather of getting going on walks late, talking on the phone. And if you see me in the bike path in Clarence at 10 o'clock at night, then I'm working. And that's awesome. This is the time of year. Another reason is because you're working on your own contracts internally that you're trying to work towards. So you're constant dialogue with the agents in going, you know, going through all different scenarios and how you get those done. And the last is you're preparing for potential free agents that could become available July 1. You're preparing with our pro staff, having, you know, meetings that, you know, what are our needs? Who are the players? If they were to hit the market on July 1, you'd be open to adding. So it's a great time of year. It's a busy time of year. The conversations with teams are nonstop, to be specific to your question, and they'll continue to be right through the next couple of weeks.
For both of you, what's your stance on Trevor Connelly, given the issues of his passing?
Well, like any player in his draft year, I mean, we combed through the history of the player pretty closely. You know, we have a pretty thorough due diligence process that would include him. You know, we're not going to share that publicly. He's a player we've talked about a lot on ice and off ice profile, and then we slot him at the appropriate spot on our list.
Jerry, I remember back in 2015 when, you know, Tim Murray traded picks on draft day, and he was very glib going to the scouting staff. 21 is gone, 31 is gone. I mean, if that happens this year, I'm sure Kevin will have more words than that if it were to happen with you guys. But in general, how does the approach of the scouting staff change in a year like this where you know
that could happen, that maybe do you have to tighten up the first round because you might move down, or knowing all your work not, won't go for naught, but you might not get that chance to pick at 11. How does it change what you guys, how you approach this?
Well, first of all, we've been very fortunate to make a lot of high draft picks here the last few years. So ultimately, that is exciting for us, and it really makes us look good, to be honest with you, when you're picking that high all the time. But we're prepared, and that's a perfect case of why you have to be prepared for everything. And you might move down, you might swap picks, you might move up, you might lose the pick. We still have to have our list all the way through in order and be prepared, as Kevin says. And, like, we all understand this is a monotonous job, what we do on a yearly basis. But you have to kind of take joy in that and understand that sometimes the information you're bringing to the organization might be used in that draft, or it might come back to be useful 5, 6, 7 years later. And then the only other thing I would add to that is the amateur scouting staff would always be excited if we used one of our picks or one of our prospects and the decision was made to make our team better right now. Or it might even be a matter of giving more variety to our prospect pool by swapping different types of players. So that's something we're always on board with, and I think that's just as exciting to us as making the pick.
I mean, as far as contracts for Ukwuepeka and Henry go, are you confident you can get something done this summer?
Yep, absolutely. I think, those conversations started, back during the season, maybe March or so, with UPL in particular. They've been productive, and I think I said this to you guys maybe before when I've been asked, is that for me, just personally, I like to start these conversations making sure we're aligned on does the player want to be here? Do they believe in what we're doing? Because if you don't start there in a good spot, I think it's going to be a really challenge. And that's, UPL made it very clear. He loves this team, loves the city, wants to be here. We're excited about them, and we're going to work at it. You know, we're continuing to have conversations. Last week, there'll be some more in Vegas, but excited about how we move forward there. Henry has a new agency, which does change just in terms of when you have to pick up and start over again to some extent, which has been totally fine. We had a productive conversation at the Combine with J.P. Barry, who now represents Henry, and then, Peyton Krebs as well. His agent was in our office during the Combine week talking about Peyton's situation, and we're going to get together again in Vegas. So no concern. These are three important players for us.
Does he fit his role? Does he not? I mean, where are you with him as a player?
Right? Well, I can give you a couple things that I think stand out to me, and with Peyton in particular. First of all, he's still a young player. You know, like we forget that because he has been here now a while since the Eichel trade, and he's kind of still finding his way to some extent. That most young players go through that process. But when I asked him about his season, at the end of the year at the exit meeting, and the first thing he said to me was, I truly believe I can be a really good 200-foot two-way centerman in this league, and I'm still working and I'm getting better. But that was a little bit of a shift. You know, when he first got here, there was so much emphasis on offense, and he had always been an offensive player, and which is normal, by the way. Most first-round pick centermen are usually talented offensive players, and that doesn't mean that we don't think he has still a chance to become a really good offensive player. But I just think him embracing, the role in playing both sides and wanting to kill penalties and these things. So I think we're still going to see him improve, and we're going to see him grow as a player. But I think the upside, and I like his competitiveness. I like his character. And I like now that his mature mindset of different ways to succeed in this league and not just an offensive side. So that to me was a telling statement, and I'm excited about it.
The season is still going on. You have personal connections to the final, and you have draft considerations, so we know who you want to see win the thing. But in general, just what are your takeaways so far, and what are your thoughts on the Panthers? No matter if they choke this away or win it, you're chasing them. They've been in the final 2 years in a row out of your division. Just What kind of takeaways do you have the way they've gone through the playoffs?
Yeah, I think I study. It's no secret. I mean, we all do this. There's a lot of copycat that goes on in this league. I certainly study other teams' rosters. I study how teams were put together, how they structure contracts. I think Florida's done a phenomenal job in terms of using no state tax to their benefit. That certainly helps in building a roster and just getting players to be open to doing, certain contracts that maybe they wouldn't be willing to do somewhere. And they've backed it up with having a great team and a great coach who I know very well. So they're a kind of what I would say a model across the league right now in terms of the way they play. They're hard to play against. They're offensive, but they can also play defensively. And, so all that is pretty impressive. And you don't go to the finals 2 years in a row by accident. Just from a personal standpoint, if you go back to 2006, the year I was fortunate enough to win the cup in Carolina, we lost game five at home in overtime with a chance to win. And I do remember specifically getting on that plane and flying to Edmonton, and it was tough. So the emotions that you go through, the ups and downs to become a Stanley Cup champion are real. I mean, they're in it right now. But if I was, if you look at their team, it's impressive. And what I've talked to our management group about, I've talked to Lindy about a lot over the last few weeks is, how do you take the best, let's call it best practices of certain organizations and things you're seeing, but how do we make it authentic to the Buffalo Sabres, and how do we do it our way? And that's from on the ice and the style of play, but that's also from in my job in terms of putting the roster together. So it's something I definitely put a lot of thought into. And it feels condensed, doesn't it, right now? The cup's still going. We're going to be in Vegas in a few days, and then I don't know. It's just the way the schedule falls this year.
You were one of those two teams. They'd be playing Game 7 on Monday. They'd be drafting in Vegas on Friday. That would be a good problem to have, even though it would be a problem.
I will take that problem. Let's absolutely sign up for that problem next year. But, no, it's a lot. I mean, I think as a general manager, that's why you have really good people around you. I'm from Kenny Allen and Bill Zito. I promise you they're not as focused on the draft or conversations that I am right now because of what they're in. But they're clearly, I'm sure, setting the tone for the organization and making sure that the people around them are ready. So they'll be there. But yeah, that's a quick turnaround for sure.
Jerry, we pick 11. I'm curious the nature of your prospect pool in terms of how deep you are and the amount of high picks you've had. How does that maybe change your risk tolerance or open up your options with that 11th pick where maybe the needs aren't as obvious in the prospect pool as they were a few years ago?
Yeah, maybe this is counterintuitive. I'm not sure. But at the top of the draft, I'm always trying to minimize risk. I don't think that's an area of the draft you should be taking on high risk. So that's the first thing we try to do with the pick. You're obviously looking for huge upside, but there should be huge upside with just about any player you're taking at that point. So that's the first thing. In terms of our prospect pool, I actually think it's pretty balanced right now. And I actually think the top 15 in the draft is pretty balanced this year with forward ND. So I don't think we'll be giving a higher preference to any specific position, even more so than any other year. We'll be taking the best player available.
Is the early plan Uka Pekka and Devin next season? Do you want to add a established veteran or a veteran maybe for Ratchet? What's the plan right now?
Yeah, well, I think if I go back to what I've said before, I think we really like the position we're in with having, UPL and Devin Levi as still young, developing goaltenders, guys we think are going to continue to grow and get better. That are extremely talented and hardworking and character people. So that's a good place to start. We'll look at depth. We obviously need to slot, guys in 3, 4, 5 in the organization, and how is that going to look? And there's it's no secret that it's not easy from goaltending, and just in terms of depth and all of that around the league. It's a tough position. We're open-minded. I mean, our plan is what I said, that we're going to have two really talented young goaltenders playing on a nightly basis, which I think is great. And then we'll make sure that we have depth covered. But, yeah, it's a conversation that we're open to looking at different options, different things, but that's our plan at the moment.
Possibilities or by the free agency?
Well, it's a really good question. The answer is both. But, you know, I think just I could tell you both have their pros and cons, if you want to say it that way. When you look around the league, as we go through our pro scouting meetings that we do pretty quickly after the regular season was over, once you have your own internal discussions on your roster and where you're at, Then we start to flip to, we go through every team in the league in depth from, you know, right through their depth charts and their roster, right through their minor league depth. So you have a handle and kind of on what's going on. And then you start to identify, are there potential fits, guys that could fit into what we need here that we could potentially, you know, acquire through a trade. So the upside of when you're looking at potential trade options is you're targeting players, you're getting exactly what you think you need. Now the downside is, what are the acquisition costs and the assets that you have to give up to acquire that player? So that's always the balance. Free agency, on one hand, is really great in terms of you're not giving up necessarily there's not an acquisition cost, but then there's a monetary or term cost to contracts that are oftentimes different, you know, based on someone having demand, right? So on July 1st, a player, and they earn that right in their career. They get to become an unrestricted free agent, and if you have multiple teams calling, the term might go up, the dollar might go up, and then that takes you out of maybe your comfort zone for a particular slot that we're trying to fill. So we're open to both. We've done our homework in terms of the potential guys that could be out there as free agents. You know, we've ranked them in terms of position. We've ranked them in terms of what our needs are. And you want to make sure you're in on those conversations when free agency opens on July 1st. And you know, like, as you guys know, it happens fast. So you got to be ready. But we'll go down both roads and we'll see how, and we'll make the best decision we can, and we'll see how we can check the boxes of what we think we need to do.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.